Our scripture reading today comes from Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne, to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped.
After this, I looked, and behold, there in heaven a door stood open. John passes through the doorway, crossing the threshold into the very throne room of God. We enter this dreamscape together with John, now in heaven, the Almighty seated on the throne beyond description. There are flashes of lightning and thunder. The throne is surrounded by great living creatures proclaiming the good news of the glory and goodness of God to the end of time. The throne is surrounded by 24 elders in robes of dazzling white, wearing crowns on their heads. There's a rainbow sparkling like emeralds. And in front of the throne, there's something like a sea of glass, like crystal. The vision defies description. Over and over again, John gives us these images. The rainbow that looks something like an emerald, something like a sea of glass, living creatures, something like a lion and an ox and an eagle, and something like a human with wings and eyes. These images have antecedents. The four living creatures are representations of the four Gospels. John is drawing on images from Ezekiel and Zechariah and Isaiah. But it's more than that. It's more than just code imagery. For John, in this dream, it's like the veil of reality has been pulled back, and we are invited to see realities behind and beyond our vision. As in Plato's cave, we are invited to see this reality as deeper and truer than the shadows of the present age. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back and sealed with seven seals. It's the scroll of human destiny. The fate of this world, rolled up, sealed, hidden. Mighty angel asks, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? The scroll is sealed, a classified message, sealed up with seven seals. Only one with high enough authority can open the seals. The angel looks, but no one is found worthy. No one, not in heaven or on earth or under the earth. And John begins to weep. John, living in exile on Patmos, having followed Christ to the end and beyond, it has cost him everything. He and his friends. He lives in uncertainty. How will the story play out? His life, the lives of his friends, many of whom are gone now. Will it all be in vain? Will it all be for nothing? And what of the others? Those still struggling on, bearing witness to what they have seen, bearing witness to Jesus, will they be okay? But no one is worthy. The scroll that speaks of God's future for us will remain sealed. We will never know. And John weeps. One of Cindy's seminary professors, Luke Powery, says that we should be weeping right along with John because we have fooled ourselves into thinking we can save ourselves and the world. We fooled ourselves into thinking that we hold the fate of the world in our own hands, that we are worthy, that we have bought into the illusion of our own ability, our own self-sufficiency. We soon forget, he says, who really is in charge, who really is Lord. John has good reason to weep if all there is human finite power. He has good reasons to weep if we are in control. He has good reason to weep if all there is us. Then one of the elders leans over to John and whispers, look. Don't cry. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. The lion is worthy. Of course he is. The lion, symbol of power for kings, ancient and near. The lion is worthy. And so we look. We turn with John to see the mighty lion of the tribe of Judah. We turn and we see a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered. A lamb slaughtered, murdered, executed, but still standing. John lives in the world of empire. The world of Rome. Rome, who has conquered the known world. Rome that seems like it will stand forever. Rome with its eagle and its sword. With its emperor who would believe he holds the very stars of fate in his hand. Rome, the empire that exiled John, that executed his friends, that executed Jesus. Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Peace, order built on the bodies of those it has subjugated. We too live in the world of empire, Pax Americana maybe. It's so easy to fall into the way of empire that trusts in power. Whether we are in power or not, we start to find our trust, our hope, our security in the ways of empire. It's why we celebrate in political victories and feel so keenly perceived political defeats. Even our churches are vulnerable to the illusion, falling into the ways of empire with politics and scheming for power and control. But John sees something different. in this reality, behind and beyond our vision, beyond the illusion of the eternal power of empire, John sees the one who has conquered, the one who is worthy. John sees the mighty lion of the tribe of Judah and beholds the lamb, slaughtered, slain, crucified, but still standing. Any reading of Revelation, says Michael Gorman, that forgets this central New Testament truth is dangerous. It is doomed not to failure, but to success. And that is its inherent defect. Human beings, even apparently faithful Christians, too often want an almighty deity who will rule the universe with power, preferably on their terms and with force when necessary. We embrace Constantine. We want the ways of empire just so long as we are the ones wielding the sword. But John's vision proclaims something different. True power, the mighty lion of the tribe of Judah, who alone is worthy, who alone has the power to open the seals and reveal the fate of human destiny, true power looks different. It's deeper than the illusion of power in the way of empire. It's the way of the lamb, slaughtered but standing. The lamb alone is worthy, overcoming the powers of this world, empire and the sword. The slaughtered, standing lamb, overcoming the powers of sin and even death itself. The world turned upside down, redefining power, drawing together a new kingdom, people of every tongue and tribe and nation, ransomed for God. Jim Wallace tells the story of a night in South Africa. Starts with a vision, with faith beyond sight. Looks like this. March 1988, South Africa. Apartheid is still very much the law of the land. As Wallace tells it, an anti-apartheid meeting had just been banned by the government, and so a church service has been hastily put together to take its place. Police roadblocks were set up to keep people out, but they found their way in, surging into the sanctuary like a powerful river of energy, determination, and hope. Archbishop Desmond Tutu arose to speak as the riot police gathered outside. In the enveloping darkness, he said, as the lights of freedom are extinguished one by one, despite all the evidence to the contrary, we have come here to say that evil and injustice and oppression and exploitation embodied in the very nature of apartheid cannot prevail. When all looks hopeless, we must assert and assert confidently that God is in charge. And then he spoke to the army of police outside, and he said, "You may be powerful, indeed very powerful, but you are not God. You are ordinary mortals. God, the God whom we worship, cannot be mocked. You have already lost. We are inviting you to come in and join the winning side." And with that, the recessional for this service turned into a chanting stampede of young people singing freedom songs into the night. Sight beyond sight, a vision that sees deeper than the world around us, that sees beneath it all the work of God, the world God is creating. We proclaim that hope, that vision of a new world. We proclaim that the world is about to turn. The slaughtered standing lamb takes hold of the scroll. He holds the future, Luke Powery says. He holds the future in his hands, God's future for us. Luke continues, there is a hope John never fully realized until he sees the one who has the scroll in his hands. The slaughtered standing lamb has the power to give us a future, the power to make all things new. The Lamb holds the scroll and they all start to sing. For the world turned upside down. The elders and the four living creatures, the angels, thousands upon thousands, they all begin to sing a new song with trumpets, with bells ringing, voices lifted up together with all creation above, below, and on earth, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb, the slaughtered standing Lamb, for the power of empire is broken. The very way of empire is broken, and the broken world around us, the broken world it has wrought, is about to turn." The slaughtered standing Lamb holds the scroll of human destiny and leads us to the end of the story. Already and not yet. John's revelation is not just a hope for some day to come. It's a revelation, a declaration of the truth that has already taken hold. The lion has already conquered. Behold the Lamb. The rules have already changed. The way of power, the powers of empire, of sin, and death itself have fallen. The Lamb has already won. We've been set free together with God's diverse kingdom from every tongue and tribe and nation. We are invited to join the winning side. We are invited to follow the way of the Lamb, to join the emancipated chorus in singing a new song. It's a song, Luke Powery says, that declares the demise of the gods of racism, sexism, classism, and consumerism will not prevail. The gods of force, the gods of violence will not prevail, not because we stand against them, but because in standing against them, we stand alongside the slaughtered standing lamb, and the future is his. We sing the future now. We sing the future present because the world is about to turn. Friends, the world is about to turn. The lion has already conquered. The lamb stands and the future is his. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.